This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Welcome to episode with Blanco Brown. First time I met you was at the house. We're at the house now. First time I met you was the house.
Yeah.
Whenever, I mean, that seems like ages ago.
Man, it wasn't that long ago, but time do pass by fast.
To me, that seems like ages ago. So this is how it, and then I want to get into your story, but this is how I found you. Much like anyone else, I was just on YouTube, and it was like videos you may know. And I was like, well, this is interesting. This guy's out from a trailer doing a dance. I could probably do that. And so then I watched a video of you and Lainey, who, by the way, that video actually brought her and I to be close. And so then I was like, Lainey, I said, Lainey, can you come and teach me how to do this dance? And she goes, I'll just call Blanco. Next thing you know, you're driving up, we're shooting back at the pool, you push me in the pool, we got 10 million views on ours, you got like a billion on yours.
Man.
And the get up has blown up. Let me play a little bit of the get up first. Here it is. I bet you have danced to this thing, you think over 5,000 times?
I don't even count.
You doing your sleep now?
I done it a lot of times.
Your whole life you're going to have to do it, right?
Yeah, it ain't going to ever go nowhere. It's going to be a part of my journey.
You know, you're about the only guy I look at right now and go, I relate, because I'm traveling like crazy, trying to eat, trying to work.
Oh, yeah.
And I see, last night, I saw you Sunday at the Titans game, singing the national anthem, and then you were doing the dance in the end zone. And then I see you at the World Series last night, and then you're back here tonight. Like you're hitting it hard.
Man, I'm telling you, I couldn't turn down them tickets. I was like, this is an experience. I've always wanted to go to one, and this is bucket list.
What's the last 6 months been like for you?
Nonstop. Busy. I mean, like, I haven't been in Atlanta longer than 3 days at a time. Nonstop.
And are you at a mix of so appreciative, but also so tired and just going, man, I can't wait for the holidays?
I mean, not even that I'm tired. Holidays, I may be working during the holidays.
We're going to talk about a couple things. We'll talk about the album, which it's out. I want to do a little bit about you first. And your real name is, where Blanco Brown come from? Because neither one of those are in your real, I also use a pseudonym. So Blanco Brown is from what?
People used to call me Benny Blanco from the Bronx, but I'm from Atlanta. My real name is Benny. And Brown, I dedicated Brown to my grandfather, who was adopted. And that was our original last name, so that's how you got Blanco Brown.
And so you don't want to go by, how do you say your name, Benny?
Benny.
Benny.
Yep.
Amy?
Amy.
The third.
Yep. A-M-E-Y.
Are there two other Benny Amys ahead of you?
Yeah, my granddad and my dad.
Okay.
My granddad passed, though.
And so you were like, Benny Amy, that's not a stage name.
Because I didn't use mine. My real name's Bobby. My real last name's Bobby Estill. And I was like, that ain't a name.
Yeah. I mean, really, people started calling me Blanco and been calling me Blanco for so long that that's what everybody called me in Atlanta, L.A., New York. It was just Blanco.
You grew up in Atlanta, but you spent a lot of time in rural parts of Georgia, too?
In the country. During the summertime, I would go to the country, Butler, Georgia, which is Taylor County. And I spent that time with my aunts and cousins and family down there and learned the other side of the world.
And so growing up for you, kind of talk to me about what it was like growing up at like age 10, 11, 12 years old.
It was a lot going on in the world. I hadn't seen so much by then. It had been through so much by then. But I think I was a sweet kid. I was real chill. You didn't really know my circumstances. I just enjoyed life. But even then, there was a lot of rehearsals and singing at talent shows, trying to win some money back then, help mama out. My childhood, it's always been about music.
Let's talk a couple things I want to talk about. We'll get to the childhood performing, because I'm interested in that, where that all started with you. But you talk about your circumstances. Talk about that for a second, because I'm not super familiar with your circumstances, like what you grew up in.
Oh, 3-bedroom apartment, brick walls inside out, no soft landing, hard concrete floors, 3 families in 1 3-bedroom apartment. It was me, my aunt, my cousins. My grandmother had my other aunt, older, so she was around my age. Older aunt, mother, it was deep. And, violence, not in the household, but outside the household, like every day. Gunshots and fights. And the better things to be remembered, opening fire hydrants and just being in front of the water with everybody playing freeze cups. And I was, I was the type of person, when I got the freeze cup, I ain't like to eat it from the top. I turned it on the back, on the bottom. That was the soft, good, sweet part of the freeze cup. And, the lightning bugs, catching the lightning bugs, playing Knock Knock Zoom, where you go to somebody's house, you knock on the door and you run. 1-2-3 red light. Duck, duck, goose, hide and go seek, hide and go get. That was my childhood. And those are the memories. Just talking about them and thinking about them, it's still a moment in the space I would do all over just the way it was.
It's funny you say that, because I grew up a poverty kid too. I'm pretty proud of it because I say that often. It's funny that you say that. Like I used to go, I'm very resentful that I had to grow up and eat a meal a day, hopefully. Or I grew up on food stamps or welfare. I used to be really resentful, but as I got older, I started to go, man, I'm so strong from that. And I also know what it's like, so I can help other people now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think there are so few of us that understand and can do something about it. And so it sounds like, as you're telling your story and I'm watching going, oh, I get that. I understand that.
Yeah.
And when you say you wouldn't change anything about it, I wouldn't either.
Man.
Because as we rise, we're able to help others like others helped us at some point.
Yeah.
And you talk about, my grandma raised me, adopted me for a while. And so your grandparents are a big part of your life.
Yeah. My grandmother's, my granddad was never really around. And as I got older, I could have spent more time with him, but I just didn't. And then when he passed, it was the most hurtful thing in the world. And I just went back to that moment of, man, I could have changed that situation on my own. I don't know if he didn't want to be around, if it was something that was going on within the family. You know what I'm saying? Don't really know the details of it. Just know that I barely seen him.
When all of you guys are in an apartment, I get that too. I used to live with all my cousins. I used to live. You just live where you can live, right?
Definitely.
Like everybody's trying to have enough money to pay rent. Sometimes you ain't got enough money to pay rent, so you all move together. A bunch of us lived in a trailer for a while. A bunch of us in an apartment. So like I get that, and also know me. I was the kid in the group that was. I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna use education. Like that was my thing. It sounds like yours was music. It sounds like you were doing music way early.
Yeah. Did my first deal when I was 7.
You, what?
Yeah, my first deal when I was 7 years old.
And how did that come about? And how did you get to a place where someone could see you at 7 to go, I like that kid?
Man, that's a good question. I never really got the answer. I never asked that question. I just know that we were recording and doing records, like, just like that. I just remember.
Who at 7 years old discovers you?
It was New Star Records, guy by the name of Anthony Richardson. And I don't know if he discovered us or if somebody took us to him. You know what I'm saying? I really can't remember how it happened.
You're 7 years old.
Yeah. I just know we were singing, recording, practicing, going to school.
Who's we, by the way?
Me and my brothers.
Okay, so were you guys like in a singing group?
We were in a group.
How many were there?
Called Times Three, because it was three of us, all brothers. And it was just the X with the apostrophe, S3. I still got the pictures now.
Where were you in the age group of the three brothers?
I'm in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you got, with the goal of what? I know you're only 7, but looking back, were they trying to break you guys as like the Jackson 5, but the three, like what?
I think more so like another bad creation.
Okay.
Meets some singing brothers, because we were like really singing, like, you know what I'm saying? But Jackson 5, it was, that would have been hard to, Jackson 5, legendary, man.
Like, they weren't legendary until after they were legendary, though. Like, they had to even start it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, by the time we were that age, they were already like, Jackson 5.
ABC's a good, like Another Bad Creation, Belle Babe DeVoe, all those groups were around that time too. Were all you guys just singing or were you guys doing any hip-hop stuff too?
No, just singing. And I was the rapper in the group.
So wait, were you rapping?
I was like the buddy from Immature who always did like the sexy talking. I did the sexy talking
at 7
and the rapping
at 8.
I'm telling you, yeah, girl. You know, all this time I've been playing around. I mean, like, yeah,
I've been playing with my GI Joes and Pogs, girl, and I've been thinking about you. I know I'm 9.
Man, that is hilarious.
I know I'm in third grade, girl, but I'm drinking milk.
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of how, you know, growing up, I didn't have the confidence to sing. So they would give me the parts where I was more like mellow talking, kind of rapping, kind of singing. I didn't find my singing voice until like 15, 16.
So you're 15, 16. Are you still in school?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, did you graduate high school?
Yep.
Okay, so you're singing all the way through high school?
All the way.
Are you known as that kid, the singing kid in high school?
Yeah.
Like we're all known as something. I was the nerd.
I was known as the singer.
Okay, so you're singing all the way through. And as you go through up until about 12th grade, at that point, what is your biggest break before you graduate high school?
I mean, we met with a guy named Kadar Massenberg. He was over at Motown, and we were about to do a deal. Met him at the Intercontinental in Buckhead, right by Lenox Mall. He looked me, my brothers, and my mother in the face, said, y'all don't have no worries, mama. They finna be able to take care of everything. We gonna sign them. We ain't get signed. Like, 2 weeks later, found out he was no longer with Motown. That was one of the moments that was like a huge moment. And then...
Do you think he lied to you or do you think he got fired in the process of signing you?
I don't know if he got fired or if he just... Something happened where he just left. But I just know the deal didn't happen.
Right.
And after that, Outkast. We were doing a deal with Outkast. And, you know, they was, you know, at that time in my life, they were just a dope group. It was just like...
From Atlanta, like guys from home.
And I remember meeting with them, and they wanted to sign my younger brother to a solo deal. So he was going to do a solo deal. And then, you know, me and my older brother were like, okay, cool, that'll be fine. Once he get all the way where he need to be, then he bring us on. And then that didn't go the way we planned it either. You know what I'm saying?
They ended up signing him?
He ended up signing to a whole nother deal. And he came out with a song, or well, a few songs. And, yeah, I mean.
When you meet with Outkast, do you actually meet with Andre and Big Boy?
Yep.
Like the other guys who show up and they're like, all right, this is the plan. So they were doing things outside of Outkast way early. Even before they blew up,
they were Purple Label and Aquemini. My dad actually just texted me that picture like 2 days ago in my phone, like of us in the same room with him with our shirts on, taking pictures with him. Yeah.
So that didn't work out. You graduate high school.
Yeah.
And what's the plan then for you musically? Because high school, it's probably a big deal to graduate high school. What's for me?
Well, my whole life, I was told, you know, stick to my art. I went to school for art. I got a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And
so we're not to college yet, though?
Yeah, from high school to college.
Okay, so you decided to go to school. Where are you going to go to school? Where did you go to school?
I went to AIU.
Okay, and your thought when you go to college is blank. Finish college or learn music or make friends?
Like, my thought with college was be the person that went to college. And if that don't work out, just know that music is always number one either way. I went there pretty much just to say I had a degree.
And what'd you study in school?
Art.
So you study art, but you're doing music?
Yep.
Okay. So you study it. To study art, though, what does that mean?
I mean, you go through all, like, art theory and...
Like paintings?
Yep.
Like sculptures?
Yep.
Like, not even music. Like, you're on a whole different track.
Yep, I did all that, like, sculpturing and websites from Dreamweaver to Magma 3D, and I do all that.
So even, like, some digital art stuff, too?
Yep.
And then if you were to have... Let's just journey off a bit, and let's say the music stuff, you end up getting an art degree. If you were to pursue that, what would you have done in art?
Oh, man. You know, Cartoon Network or something.
Yeah.
Some voiceovers with some animations. I could talk just about, like, anything. And
You can?
Yeah.
Well, let's do a squirrel. Let's do a squirrel.
I don't know.
Pretty good. How about a duck? Okay. Let's do one more that isn't an easy one. How about a platypus? Because we have no idea what a platypus sounds like.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
But honestly, music was always the forefront, but I didn't have confidence to do it. I didn't have the confidence in myself. So I just wanted to figure out how to be a part of it. I started engineering. Straight out of college, I started engineering.
So like the sound engineering. So if you're listening right now, what that is you're at a computer and you're basically adjusting the levels of everything, like to break it down like a 5 years old.
Yep.
So you're engineering music. Where do you learn those skills to be a music engineer?
One of my homies named Daryl showed me how to use a Controls 24. And I started messing around with it. And then next thing you know, I was engineering, recording for the Wild Gospel compilations and stuff. Dipset.
So a bit self-taught.
Yep.
Your friend just said, here's kind of how to do it. Then you just took it and did your thing.
He gave me a layout, a template. I started building from that. And then I came up with my own template. And I just started making money doing it. So it was just like one of those situations that kind of fell in my lap. And I was just like, okay, I get to start building relationships with people. And then hopefully they'll listen to some of my writing one day, because I was always writing, you know what I'm saying? Note here, note there. I was a professional haiku writer. Can't nobody outwrite me in a haiku format, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, you got paid to write a haiku?
No.
Because I used to write haikus, but there was no money in haikus.
I know it ain't no money, and I'm just saying that was a good start.
Yeah.
You got the creative block going. And I just built from there. After that, I was like vocal producing for free, but didn't know that you get paid more to vocal produce than you were getting paid to engineer and sit there all day while somebody tell you what to do and what not to do.
What's the difference in vocal producing and engineering?
engineering, I'm hitting buttons, I'm copying and pasting, I'm moving stuff. Vocal production, I'm telling the artist what notes to hit, how to take the song to the next level. It needs a harmony here, go low here, leave this blank. It's producing. So I found a love in that and realized I can get paid more in 2 hours than sitting in the studio for 16 hours just by vocal producing. So I said I was never an engineer no more.
And you were good at it. Like, you felt like you kind of found your calling, vocal producing.
Yeah, I was great at it.
So who was one of the first artists to come to you and go, hey, I'd like for you to vocal produce me. And you're like, wow, I'm actually moving up. Like, somebody who's got some real money on them is actually asking me to help them.
Oh, Kristen Amelia was the first.
Like, Dip It Low. Like, that just for those listening, Kristen Amelia sings Dip It Low, has a bunch of pop songs. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was doing her stuff, and then I went from her stuff to Kiki Palmer. Then I went from that to, like, Selena Johnson. And
so does word start to spread then? Like, if you work with someone and Kristen Emilian goes, ah, he's great. And she's talking to her producers. Their producers talking, and they're like, oh, you know, you should get Blanco. Is that kind of how your work came in?
That's how it came in. And then before you know it, I was vocal producing Monica. And, different people.
Fergie.
Yeah, Fergie. I did Chris Brown stuff, Childish Gambino and Lloyd, like different records. All that just came all in one nutshell. It came at me fast. Some of the stuff that I went vocal producing, I did the vocal production. I mean, I did the vocal arrangements on them, and they were my backgrounds that I was singing for these records that they didn't want to replace. So they paid me.
And they just put you on the record. Yep. So you were singing it as an example track. But it was so good, they said, hey, we're just going to put this on the record.
Yep.
So not only are you producing, now you're accidentally doing background vocals too.
Yeah, by mistake. And, man, I mean, you can't really... God's work.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now,
I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. So who did you work with where you go, wow, like, that is a special vocalist?
I mean, plenty of those.
But who comes to mind first thing? Were you're in a studio with them. We just talked about a big list of names.
He trying to get me in trouble.
No, not in trouble. Yeah, I'm looking for a good, like, one where you walk in and you're just, not a bad, but one where it's just like, oh, wow, like your eyes open, because everybody's good. At the major league level, everybody's good.
Man, there's so many great vocalists. You know.
But who blew you away, Blanco, where you're like, wow.
It's a lot of great ones.
Fergie?
It was a lot of great ones. It still is a lot of great ones. I mean, from Monica to Kiki White.
We'll go with Monica. That was the first one you mentioned. Monica, special.
It's a lot of special ones. You know what I'm saying?
Very diplomatic answer. How did you work with Kane Brown?
A producer that I met, and I was doing some vocal production for some other artist that he was working with. Kane was working with him, and he would come to the studio every day, and like he was like, I want this guy to vocal produce me. I like what he do. And we got in the studio, and I started demoing records for him by singing them, and he would get in the booth and just put his thing on. And we just built, like, I mean, it's some records that the world haven't heard yet. I mean, we did a good 8-9 records. Yeah.
That he just sitting on right now?
Yeah, they just sitting there. They jamming too.
I've heard about people, and I talked to John Mayer about this, where people can see colors when they hear music. And even John Mayer said he wasn't so advanced, and he's very advanced musically, but he's like, I can't see colors, like I don't have that. But do you have that where you can hear colors, see colors from music, like a certain note?
Yeah, definitely. I see them, colors and shapes.
Talk to me about that for a second. How does that work?
I don't know how it worked, but
like if you hear like a G, is that a color to you?
I mean, it's the melodies that paint the pictures for me.
And can you memorize the colors?
Yeah, I mean, I know what each color makes me feel. And then at points, it's so sporadic that I see colors, I don't think about the process, but I just go with the art that is presented at the time.
And is that where the ear came from? Your nickname, the ear?
The ear. The ability to listen down one time to a record and tell you exactly what is missing.
And they trusted you to listen one time and go, this is what I feel. And you had so much success, they were like, let's hire the ear.
Hey, you know, they kind of just put their name on there after doing it so much and being known to listen to records and tell you how to take them to the next level. It kind of came.
The Get Up, whenever that you kind of stumble into a smash, because no one ever picks a smash. No one ever goes, this is for sure going to be a smash. Any smash I've ever talked to anybody is like, well, I remember thinking about it. We recorded it. You kind of don't know. You know, it starts to pick up, and you're like, holy crap, can't believe the traction it's getting. So the infancy of the Get Up, let's start back. Did you go, I think I'm going to do a song where everybody dances? Or did it just kind of come in phases?
I did a song, and I said, people going to love this record. It's going to bring a lot of smiles to people, faces. It feels like a 2019, 2020 ache and break your heart to me. It can be next level. And I just remember telling myself, this is special. I put out a 1-minute clip in April.
On TikTok? Or on
another platform.
Yeah.
Not even on YouTube. And 5 million views first week. And then the guys from TikTok.
What, before we get to take it, what clip did you put up, though, that was 1 minute? Was it the hook?
Me dancing in front of the door.
Okay, so it was visual and audio. It was,
yeah.
Okay, so it's you dancing the dance with, what, like the hook? Or do you remember what part of the verse? Okay, so gonna do the two step. This part here.
Yep.
And you're doing the dance in front of a door.
Yep.
In the house.
Yep, with some basketball shorts on, a Western black shirt, a cap, and some church socks. I was just really messing around with the dance and said, I want to record it because the floor kind of feels slippery, real groovy. Had already came up with the dance, but I did the dance and sent it to Zach Katz, John Loban, my homie Jasper Cameron, and my brother. And they were just like, man, this is out of here.
Were you surprised to see that many people watch that video that first week?
Yeah, I was shocked.
You're just like, what? There are a lot of videos. How come mine's getting 5 million?
It blew up on this guy named DJ Big Shaka page first. And he started hitting me, like, inboxing me, keeping me updated, like, on, like, what it was actually doing, the impressions and everything on it. He was like, man, this is crazy. I never had anything like this many views and this demand on my page. And then other people started posting my video on their page, and it started getting 1 million, 2 million, 3 million views. And by then, I mean, before I realized it was on TikTok, it had already had like close to 60 million views.
So it goes over to TikTok. Was the first big TikTok video where that kid puts his arms out like this? He does like that. Was that the first really big one?
It's probably been the first really big one that everybody know of. But by the time he did it already had like so many million views. This guy named Ajani saw my video and did a dance on TikTok. And that
was it your dance?
Uh-uh.
He did his own version.
He did his own thing. And that's the version that Harvey did that got popular.
With the arms out.
Yep.
Who you later put in your video?
Ajani is in my video too.
Oh yeah?
They in at the field. I got a little runny nose.
Run it. We're good. So when you travel, and listen, when you travel all the time, that happens.
Yep.
You got it. You wash. I wash my hands.
Man, I wash
all the time. Like, I am obsessed with hand washing because I'm on the road so much that I start, like, my hands are raw from all the washing that I do.
Man, you got to keep that lotion too.
Yeah, I'm just not a lotioner. I don't even think I own lotion. Like, anywhere in my house do I have lotion. I think when I was like 11.
The last thing I want to do is look back up and then my face look like, uh-uh.
You got a big booger in your nose right on it?
Boop, we good.
You good.
All right, we back.
It's blowing up on TikTok. And it's only TikTok 60 seconds, 15 seconds, two versions. Which was blowing up for you, 15 or 60 second on TikTok?
15.
Okay, so they're doing 15 second clips of TikTok. And this is the infancy of TikTok, where unless you're like 14, you don't even have TikTok.
Yeah, but that ain't true.
Well, listen, I'm on it now. It's uncomfortably a lot of 14-year-olds. I'm being honest with you. I post stuff on TikTok. It's my favorite platform, by the way, because there's so much funny content. But these 14-year-old girls get in there and start dancing and shaking their butt. And I'm like, next. It's like all kids. Okay, most.
Hey, I don't know.
There's a lot of 14-year-olds on TikTok.
I don't know what section you be in.
No, don't listen to me. Listen, then there's that for you section. They keep sending me those videos. I don't know what it says about that.
Hey, man, when I go on TikTok,
it's not all. Okay. Let me pull up my TikTok right now. Let's just see what happens.
And let me pull up mine. Okay, I'm gonna show you what happens.
All right, so I'll pull up mine first. How old is this girl right here?
Every bit of 15.
Yeah. First one that pops up. I don't follow her. And so she...
Look what I get.
You got an old man. He has like Gandalf the Great. I have like a 15-year-old girl. All right, let me swipe another one. I'll go my turn. Swipe. This is a... How old is this boy here? He's probably... 16?
Every bit of 16.
Okay. You swipe yours up now. Let's see what you get. Another adult. I mean, like, he's like 25. He's like,
yeah.
All right. My phone does not. I don't like the algorithm that my TikTok is giving me.
Everybody, that Will Smith?
Yeah, Will Smith's funny on TikTok. Look at this. How old is this girl? Next one up in line.
She about 17, 18.
Yeah. Well, I don't like what mine's showing me. I need to have a talk. My TikTok's all teen.
I never see 13, 14 on mine.
I don't like them. I don't know why they keep giving them to me.
Yeah, it's an algorithm thing probably. But
maybe you got special TikToks that you...
No, I ain't got no special TikTok. You know, TikTok.
So it does the thing. It does its thing at TikTok. In that world, it blows up.
That took it to the next level because so many people are on the platform. And it's just one click. You know, you...
Yeah, swipe.
Keep going.
And a lot of people were doing it.
Yeah. I mean, like, over 3.some million people have done the dance just on that platform alone. But across every platform, it's, yeah.
I was reading, you don't have to comment on this, that you have made somewhere from about $1 million in YouTube and TikTok, money from people that the playing your videos, about $1 million. I'm saying anything. I'm saying that out loud. That's just what it says. Estimated earnings from YouTube channel alone ranges around $1 million. Hey, look at that. Good on you. I was reading the YouTube comments. I'm saying anything back. I'm just saying that out loud.
He said, good on you.
Good on you. I don't know if you ever read the YouTube comments. I tend to not, but that your number one comment is actually super positive. It's from a guy named Jonathan Baker. He says, this is so refreshing to see a dance video without half-naked women and instead of a dude in a trailer park wearing jeans. Epic. You're the man. So rare that a top YouTube comment will be positive, and yours is. And yeah. I was drawn to it because in the video where you're teaching it, which is why I watched it first, you're standing outside. Is it your friend's, like a trailer park you guys live by?
Or? Oh, yeah. He used to stay right beside it. And his name, Caviar, he did like this picture right here. Mm-hmm. He did the Get Up cover. I mean, that was like another thing that wasn't gonna be a cover. We were standing in the same trailer park and I took a picture on the steps and I looked down like this. He said, make that face again. I said, you got it? I did like two shots with the sky behind me. It became the cover. I went back to his house. We was hoping doing some stuff. I said, hey man, I wanna shoot a vertical video in front of that trailer. It was an abandoned trailer. And he said, cool. So we went down there. It was kind of sprinkling outside, light sprinkling. We pulled out the little generator. Shot, did two passes. Just put those two passes together and uploaded.
And then boom, again. At that point, so much of the content and the song is blowing up that you have to go, there's something here. Like yeah. It can't blow up this many times and get this. It's not luck after the third time it blows up. And you have to go, all right, there's something here.
It was organic, no money behind it, no radio behind it. It was straight consumers, people going, clicking on the song, listening to it. I mean, like 20 million plus views on that trailer park before then. I think it's like 50-something now, 40-something.
It's never actually in the song, the words to get up.
Never. I dedicated the title to my grandmother. She's come early in the morning. She liked the Vaseline on me and my sibling face, my cousin, everybody that was in the house. In a loving manner, though, you know what I'm saying? and say, get up. That just meant being vertical with the world, finding purpose, finding joy, finding happiness. You couldn't do that laying down. And she meant that, both grandmothers.
Was there ever a title of the song before the get up?
Like, yep.
Was there a working title?
Yep. I actually looked
Let
back
me guess. At, let me guess. Cowboy Boogie.
Nope.
Okay. No, it can't be two step. Because gonna Hoedown.
It had nothing to do with the song.
Oh, well, I'd been here.
I named the title of the session God's Gift.
And that was gonna be the working name of the song.
Yeah, that was never the name of the song. It was just when I created it, it felt like this was God's gift to me. And that's the original title of the session. I have it on my laptop, like, right now.
So the get up starts to blow up. And what's, like, the big first crazy call you got where it's like, wow, I get to go do this now?
The CMA Fest. I dreamt of performing there the year before. A lot of people didn't even know it, but I had already done my deal with Broken Bow Records and BMG a year prior to me putting out a 1 minute video clip.
So the Get Up didn't get you a deal. You had already signed, talked, worked out a deal with the record. I didn't know that.
Yep. I signed the deal 2018 in May or June. And the Get Up, I wrote September 2018.
When you sent it off to John Loba, for example, what's his response back?
It was like, man, this right here is impressive. That is strong. You know, John, that's his words. That is strong.
And then you go out and you do radio tour.
Yep. We set out the radio tour 2.5-3 months after the song had already been out. It had already done what it was doing. And then decided to take it to the radio.
Well, you have pop stations playing you. You have country stations playing you a little bit. Were they like, we kind of don't know what to do with it, so we're going to let everybody go with it? Like, what was the plan?
Oh, I really don't even know. I really don't know. Grandma would taught me. And my mama. See, I don't say my mama a lot, but she taught me a whole bunch. I'm used to saying my grandmother. But look, if you don't know what to say, just don't say nothing. Cause I don't know the process of that. When they decided to pitch it to the radio, I just went on the radio tour. And I told them that I wanted to go on a radio tour. And I wanted to be in the people's faces and get to meet them and greet them. And that was like priority to me, to go on the radio tour. So John said, let's make it happen.
Where's the weirdest place you did the dance? Not even a radio tour, just in general. Because you've done it. I see you like on local news. I see you at zoos.
Well, I just did it yesterday at the World Series game during the ninth inning. And somebody was getting struck out. I was just in the middle of the aisle doing the dance.
Coolest celebrity you've seen do the dance?
I mean, it's a lot of people.
Name one.
I can't even.
Don't start with Monica again.
No. I can't even.
One celebrity you've seen do the dance.
I ain't seen her do the dance.
No, but name one celebrity you've seen do the dance. So it's pretty cool.
Man, it's the one of the ones that took me out was Howie.
Howie. Who's Howie?
You don't know Howie.
Howie, Howard the Duck, Howie from Backstreet Boys.
Howie.
Who's Howie?
I'm gonna let you figure it out.
Who took you out?
I'm saying that made me like laugh.
Mike, weird. Do you know who Howie is?
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel? Okay. Okay, wait, it'd be my fourth Howie pick. You just said Howie. Like, I don't.
Look, he got it the first one. I was just like, I'm gonna play a little game and let you guess this one since you don't want me to say Monica again.
Go ahead.
It was Howie.
It's Howie. Okay. You've been all over the world. Language barriers with the song. Weird or no?
I haven't had any issues there. I see people just enjoying it, laughing, enjoying themselves.
And funny accents?
Gonna do the two-step and call.
I'm trying to think if it, you know what? Let me do something right quick. Why were you?
But as you look it up, I'm gonna do something here. So the album's called Honeysuckle and Lightning Bugs. Obviously, to get up, here's some of Georgia Power right here. You gotta throw up your boots, get your feelings in line. Yeah, I'll be alright, yeah, I'll be alright. You gotta get in your mouth, thank God I'm alive. Yeah, I'll be alright, yeah, I'll be alright. Any, mini, 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 mo. I'll never, ever, ever let her take my soul. Any, mini, 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 mo. Don't aim too high, don't shoot too low. Any, mini, 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 mo. Everything that little won't grow. Here's a little bit of Tennessee whiskey. Tell me what can I say? You're a glass of champagne, and I'm this Tennessee whiskey. Ooh, tell me what am I to do? And here is a little bit of Temporary Insanity from the record. You look up when this one plays. You love this one?
Man, I'm going to tell you, like, that was one of those records, like, The Get Up. I wrote it right before I was done with my album. I'm actually playing a guitar on that too. I played in these keys and I tuned it a certain way to make sure it had that dark texture, so I didn't tune it in like, you know, the regular standard tuning. And it has a dullness about it. It felt magical to me.
Let me hear some more of this. Turn this up, Mike.
Everything. And any change broke me and took it away. And you feel my pain.
Proud of this one?
And that was me talking to myself.
Ever since I was a little boy, I was questioning my purpose. Don't let me slip away.
How many times did it take to sing this one down?
I sung it like 2 times through.
Kidding me? You know, and I know you're not, I'm going to tell you the first experience. So we have met at the house. You came over. And then I said, hey, you should come up and do the show and play. And I figured you'd be good. And we were in a temporary studio because we're building a new studio and everything was kind of a mess. And you walked in and you had the guys from
Parmalee.
Matt came in with you from Parmalee. That's right. And you started singing. And I was like, oh my, and again, I don't have a system, but you may be, if not the, one of the best singers to ever be in the studio, to sing straightforward. I was blown away.
Thank you.
And I don't throw out compliments like that very often unless I mean it. And again, I don't have a full ranking system, but you may be the best singer I've ever had in that room. And we have a lot of great singers in that room.
It's a blessing.
My eyeballs were so big. I was like, oh, this is it right here. It was crazy.
Man, that come from trying to be heard for so long, going through the hurt, not being accepted, wanting to never fit in but stand out. And you could just hear the pain in my voice.
When you started, I was born by the real. I was like, oh, as soon as you started. And you left and we were all like, well, nobody needs to come in the next couple days because they can't do that. Like, you got to start the concert over. You got to have a new show. No one needs to follow that. Are people surprised when you, because the Get Up is such a dance song. Are they surprised when you just blow the place off with your vocals?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go from to the left now, to the right. It's different from belting. You know what I'm saying? The Get Up served the purpose for what it is and what it for. Forever will be. The Get Up is like you hear it and you see this house. When you dig into like the album, you're in the house. Now you see how I decorated everything. You get to enjoy the furnishing. What handles did he choose? How did his kitchen come together? Why is there marble in the middle? You know what I'm saying? Why is there this? It kind of, it paint the picture.
Honeysuckle and Lightning Bugs is the album. You got 10 songs. You're a writer on all the songs. Is it important to you?
To be a writer?
Yeah.
If somebody give me a record that just touches my heart, then I'll definitely cut it. And I have a couple that I've cut that are probably going to the second album.
You already working on the second album?
Yeah. I mean, I chose 10 records for this album from like a 80 song catalog of straight trailer trap.
In the rest of your life, you will be doing the Get Up, and you're good with that.
I'm good with that.
The last movie you saw in theaters?
Man, I can't.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I ain't been in a minute.
Last concert you bought tickets for?
That I personally bought.
Yeah, that they didn't give you.
Mumford and Sons.
Where?
L.A.
One more question. What superstition do you believe is true? Will you walk under a ladder?
No, I don't believe in that.
Okay, so you'll walk under a ladder. I will too. I don't believe in that. Will you break a mirror? Someone said, here's $10. Break that mirror.
Yeah, I break it.
All right. If a black cat walks in front of you.
I need them 10, buddy.
I'm not a superstition guy either. Well, listen, it's a really interesting story. I'm glad that we could talk about it, share it a little bit. I appreciate that.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, no, I just like, I'm such a fan. Time. Such a fan. And hope everybody listening to this checks out Honeysuckle and Lightning Bugs. I'm gonna go back and re-listen to Temporary Insanity. Cause I see like that's your favorite, like that. Not your, but that's something you're really proud of. Like, I wanna go spend more because I listened to the record a couple times. Really like it.
I mean, the first line, like, I never meant to break your broken heart. These lonely nights keep me staying awake, hoping that my phone will ring. All my life, I've been chasing charts. Never felt like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's getting into the depth of things because now it's all reversed. Now that I'm doing my own music, I could care less about looking at the charts every week, blood pressure going up and down. I just want to make music that's purposeful, that people can relate to, that people can feel. And I'm not looking for one big old combustion, one big boom. I want people to go along a journey and ride with me and get to know and grow with me. I'm 34. I'm not trying to fast forward nothing. It's still the same process. I'm doing everything one step at a time, as if the get up don't exist. It's just a blessing to be here.
I saw the Tim McGraw story too in the tweet. You and Tim did Don't Take the Girl?
Yes, that was like a dream.
So how did that come together?
That I never knew could happen. We had a show in Australia together, and John told me that he wanted to meet me. He said, hey, don't get your hopes up. I don't know what's going to happen when you meet him. He may get too busy. He said, but y'all will be in the same place at the same time. So it more than likely would happen. I walked in the room, one of the nicest guys I ever met. They had a guitar and some keys. I said, oh, it's about to go down. I went to sweating. And he was like, you know the song, right? I said, of course. And I said, I got one fact for you that you probably ain't thought about. Johnny would be 33 today. His son would be 10. In the song, they had him at 23. And when Johnny was 8, I was 9. So I know Johnny age, you know what I'm saying? He was just like, that's a good one. We sang the song.
Where'd you sing the song?
In the green room.
And so that record, I'll play it right here. So this Don't Take the Girl, you and Tim. You guys are just playing in the green room here this whole time? How cool was that?
It was like surreal. I mean, I still look back at the video and like, this really happened. It ain't a moment that can make up for that. That has its own shelf, its own bookmark.
And you get to play the opera, your debut on November 19th. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go in there and give it my all.
Do you know what you're going to sing yet?
Yeah.
You don't want to say?
Huh. I mean, you're definitely going to hear Temporary Insanity.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the Get Up.
Yeah.
You're going to hear Georgia Power, 10 Whiskey. You know, might have another one up my sleeve.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate the time. Yeah, there he is. Check it out. The record, Honeysuckle and Lightning Bugs, Blanco Brown, and on Instagram, at Blanco Brown. And if you do the dance, you tag him, he'll probably post it.
Definitely.
Love it. You're always watching the stories.
And I'm working on some secret things.
Well, that does nothing for me. You're rubbing your hands.
You know.
I don't know what a secret thing is, but.
Some great things coming.
All right.
Just remember. You heard it.
We heard that you're working on a secret thing.
Yeah.
Guess what? I also am working on a couple secret things, but I will give you nothing else. It doesn't feel good, does it? When someone holds a secret thing. All right. That's it. Episode 209 with Blanco Brown. Check out the whole record. Just spend a few minutes with it. All right. Good to see you.
Thank you.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.